Purify your life today.
It's the fight for the moon, and we're going to talk about it here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging with you coast to coast and everywhere in between. Can't wait to chat with Homer Hickam, a former NASA engineer. Remember the film October Sky? I love the movie, and I like the book, too. He wrote the book, and that was the basis. His life was the basis for the book. Anyway, he has strong feelings about NASA and the cuts and what it means for the U.S. And, hey, how about space exploration? We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few. But why is there the concern over the fight for the moon? It's because of the spending freeze and the new budget that President Barack Obama has unveiled. Now, part of what's happening as a result of the budget is this multi-trillion dollar spending plan. Remember, we talked about this heading into the week. The Prez is pledging an all-out effort to knock down high unemployment and asking Congress to quickly rubber stamp the new job creation efforts that would, he says, boost the deficit to, well, he didn't say it would boost the deficit. He says will help the economy and help the folks who need the jobs, but ultimately it would boost the deficit to a record-breaking $1.56 trillion. You know how many jobs have been cost over the past 2 years? 7.2 million. And that's just an estimate. I think it's a little bit higher because I'm going to throw in the people that are massively underemployed in that. Anyway, the new budget projects a spending increase of 5.7% for the current budget year, also forecasting that the spending would rise, let's give or take another 3% in 2011 to 3.83 trillion. The president says everybody has to tighten their belt. Here were some of his thoughts early in the day on the budget.
This morning I sent a budget to Congress for the coming year. It's a budget that reflects the serious challenges facing the country. We're at war. Our economy's lost 7 million jobs over the last 2 years. And our government is deeply in debt after what can only be described as a decade of profligacy. We have to do what families across America are doing. Save where we can so that we can afford what we need. Now, I think it's very important to understand, we won't be able to bring down this deficit overnight, given that the recovery is still taking hold and families across the country still need help. We will continue, for example, to do what it takes to create jobs. That's reflected in my budget. It's essential. The budget includes new tax cuts for people who invest in small businesses, tax credits for small businesses that hire new workers, investments that will create jobs repairing roads and bridges, and tax breaks for retrofitting homes to save energy. I've proposed a more than 6% increase in funding for the Education Department, and this funding is tied to reforms that raise student achievement, inspire students to excel in math and science, and turn around failing schools, which consign too many young people to a lesser future.
All right, so what does this mean to you and me? Basically, in a nutshell, it's as I described when you look at the deficit. The budget would absolutely knock down all records as far as spending is concerned, so we would have a huge deficit. We already have one, but it would just tick off that clock in New York. Now, most of the top Democrats, the Pelosi's, the Harry Reid's, etc., would back this up and say you got to spend your way out of a recession. But I'm asking all of you, is this the way to go? Honestly, do you think the way to go is to spend your way out of a recession? Now, later on, we're going to talk about that spending freeze again that we've mentioned several times and, of course, was brought up in the State of the Union address. And specifically, what does that mean? That's part of the moon thing in not spending money with NASA and just calling a halt to that exploration. And hey, the shuttle ends, and I don't know, is it lights out temporarily for NASA? I don't think it's that extreme, but extreme enough that the futuristic plans, the things that were already in the works, are basically going to be mothballed. So I can't wait to get the thoughts, as I mentioned, of Homer Hickam. So excited to have him on this show. But jumping back to some other specifics of the budget, the House Majority Whip, Congressman James Cleburne from South Carolina, said that, you know, we're trying to find greater savings in the budget that was released by the president. You know, and it wouldn't help alleviate the recession. We've got to make some decisions as to what's the best, and this is his quotes, as to what's the best interest for our country going forward. I think the best interest to is to invest in education. You heard Barack Obama mention education there. Control the deficits while at the same time trying to get people back to work. So we're talking about a $3.8 trillion increase in spending. That's the number, $3.8 trillion. Of course, Congress has to approve it for 2010. But then it's what it does to the deficit, the number I mentioned right when I clicked open the mic. It would cause a $1.27 trillion deficit overall. Actually, more than that, because you add what's already there, lump that into it. So those are some big numbers. I don't know about all of you, but think for a second about trillions and what you could do with trillions and trillions of dollars. Now, not all Democrats, by the way, are on board with this. Several of them expressed that they're worried that without expanded spending on social programs, there you go, and other elements of the budget, some people that actually have been slammed the hardest by the recession would be at a complete disadvantage by the budget. So in trying to get people back to work, it would do the exact opposite. Those who really, really need it, it wouldn't trickle down to them, to borrow a term from a different kind of president, it wouldn't trickle down to them in any sense of your imagination, if you think about it. It's not going to go down to those levels. So you're not going to bring the, here's what I think. You're not going to bring the deficits down. You're not going to eliminate the problems without doing something, yes, to grow the economy. Sure, you got to do something to grow the economy. But the spending, the constant number that's being thrown out for the spending, I just go back to the stimulus and what a flop the stimulus was and the possibility of the second stimulus, how ridiculous. You know, I just don't. To me, it's just more of the same rhetoric. We're like a cat. We're chasing the tail around and around and around and around and around. The recession wasn't caused by debt. It wasn't caused by debt. And trying to balance the budget this year would make that recession 10 times worse. I had economics 101 and 102. The bill comes due, so you got to pay the bill, right? And this is definitely, definitely not time for another huge stimulus. I mean, you know, too much debt means that much more sacrifice later. And we're talking about real sacrifice. I think the coffers are empty, and it's just not, it's not the right direction to go in. Hopefully, there can be some kind of bipartisan cooperation if some things are changed, but in looking just straight on at this budget, I think there's going to be a lot of calls for some changes in it. Because like I said, not all Democrats are on board with this anyway. All right, as I mentioned, the fight to save the moon we'll explain next on ATN.
If you like vitamins, say, I like vitamins.com. Vitamin lovers, it's your choice. Take pills and capsules with only about a 10 to 20% absorption rate, or take 10-in-1 liquid vitamin and mineral supplement at up to a 98% absorption rate. Yes, 10 formulas in one bottle. 10-in-1 liquid supplement is in your system in as little as 3 minutes. Just shake it and take it. Go to ilikevitamins.com now and see our amazing video. 10-in-1 is a multivitamin and mineral formula that supports vision, enhances immunity, reduces stress, helps your heart, memory and mood, energy, digestion, bones and joints, and has super antioxidant age-defying nutrients. All of that and saves money, too. 10-in-1 great-tasting liquid supplement is equal to taking up to 5 different products and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to ilikevitamins.com. That's ilikevitamins.com. Or call 256-444-8000. 256-444-8000. 10-in-1, the world's greatest liquid vitamin and mineral supplement. Distributors wanted. Details at ilikevitamins.com.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-7201. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. 1-800-257-7201.
She packed my bags last night pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.
You know, it's been more than 40 years since Buzz Aldrin stood on the moon, Apollo 11. As a person who loves space exploration, it saddens me to know that we have to fight to go back to the moon. You've got politicians from Florida, Texas, and Alabama who are saying, no, sir, we don't want to lose this one. Already thousands of jobs have been lost in the space industry. I know I have family that work in the industry. So that's because of the shuttle coming to an end. Now, we were going to go to the moon, but the moon program, the Constellation, looks like it's dead in its tracks, part of the budget axe. Here earlier today is what the budget director had to say about losing the program.
Let me be clear about what is happening at NASA. The Constellation program, which is over budget and behind schedule, was intended to do what we've already done, which is return a man or woman to the moon. We believe in the future of human spaceflight. We believe that NASA can inspire Americans and lead to scientific advances. So we do have actually a small budget increase for NASA. What we're saying is let's redirect that towards longer range R&D, advanced robotics, research and development, and find those new technologies that will actually allow us to go further in space and not just repeat what we've already done, especially in a program that is behind schedule and over budget.
Well, NASA, unfortunately, they're either up or down. It just depends on the political whims of what's going on at the country at a particular time. Who better to have on this show? Always a pleasure to talk to Homer Hickam. You know his book, October Sky. You probably saw the film. He's a former NASA engineer, and of course his life was the basis for his book, October Sky. I'm sure he's got lots of thoughts on what's happening here. That's why we are very pleased to welcome him to the show. Homer, thanks for joining us. How have you been?
Well, I've been just fine, Kate. I've written a lot of books since Rocket Boys, also known as October Sky, so I stay busy. As a matter of fact, I wrote a novel back in 2001 called Back to the Moon. I didn't realize, that novel was a techno thriller, but I didn't realize that the whole moon program was about to become a techno thriller here in 2010.
Yeah, no kidding. As somebody who lived this, why is it, and to me it's just because I'm just like a wide-eyed kid and I love the idea of space. I know nothing other than what I've learned from astronauts and talking to them and being able to go and see some pretty cool things. And I'm going to go down to a shuttle launch and I'm excited about that. But why from your point of view, why is space exploration and NASA so darn important to the future of the United States?
Well, let me back up just a little bit and stick with me for a second, and let me kind of explain what happened today and then see where we're going to go from there. Back in 2003, the Bush administration decided that the shuttle program was essentially winding down. The shuttles were old. They had already been proved to be unsafe. And the question was, okay, if we're going to close the shuttle program down after we build the International Space Station, what are we going to do next? So a decision was made called a Vision for Space Exploration, that the next thing to do would be to go back to the moon and build a laboratory there while also doing some work on the International Space Station. So NASA, at that point, started closing down the shuttle program, completed the space station, and started ramping up to build all the machines necessary to go back to the moon to do something that was considered in the national interest to do. Now, with today's announcement, two things happened. The first thing, you're right, Constellation program was shut down, which essentially wastes about 6 years of effort that NASA has done to build the rockets and build all the infrastructure needed to go back to the moon. It also, the decision was made to commercialize carrying humans into orbit, especially Americans, into orbit up to the space station. Now, that aspect of the decision is a pretty good one, I think, in that there are a number of American companies like SpaceX that stand ready to launch humans into Earth orbit so NASA can clearly get out of that game. But by taking away NASA's fundamental purpose, its mission to go back to the moon, it today did a lot more than just shut down the Constellation program. It essentially canceled NASA itself because NASA now no longer has a clear purpose. So we're in for a very bumpy ride in terms of NASA and the Federal Space Program. What do we do next? We just don't know. What that budget guy said was just mush, doesn't mean anything, a lot of gobbledygook, and we've got to get some clarity now into our program.
Yeah, no kidding. And so in the argument, in the fight, as I mentioned, there are three key states where already jobs have been lost, but more jobs will be lost too, since as now you've just said as well, what's NASA's, you know, what's the future for NASA? Where do you go from here?
Well, a lot of NASA engineers now will just get out of the program. I mean, why stick around basically not having a purpose? Better to go off and design new hot water heaters than rockets that are never going to fly. So this is a fundamental shift in America's purpose in space. Now, there's going to be a huge food fight over this. Just because President Obama wants this to happen doesn't necessarily mean it will. But right now there are something like 20 to 30,000 jobs on the line, and also a whole lot of new technology that we're about to lose.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's the next part of this. As somebody who did this for a living, you certainly know. But the question always becomes to people who have no clue about what goes on with the space program. They'll always ask, well, what does it mean anyway if we go look at a few rocks? What does that mean? I don't understand. What do we gain from going out there for lunar exploration? So what do we gain?
Yeah, well, and also, you know, how come we're spending all that money just for the rocks? Well, first place, let me just talk about the money real quick. NASA is essentially just a rounding error in the $3.5 trillion budget. It's like 0.5% of the federal budget. It's around $18 billion, which is about as much as the Department of Labor gets. And you know how important the Department of Labor is to fundamental operation of our country. So why go back to the moon? Well, for the same reason that we have a station down in the South Pole. We have actually three stations down in the South Pole. We are down there because we are the leader in science and technology in this country, and we mean to stay there. The moon is our next place to go. Other countries are going to go there. We need to have our place there, and we actually need to lead the way if people are going to look toward our country as a leader not only in technology and science, but also in the way that we manage ourselves as a representative of the human race. So, yes, we have a lot to gain on the moon. We'll learn an awful lot by going up there. I think eventually we will go. It is essentially in the national interest to go. But I think NASA has failed, as well as the federal government has failed, to put all of that in a proper perspective and to lay it out to the American people why we need to go out there. And certainly writers like me and others are willing to step up and give them the reason if they can't figure it out.
Very well said. We only have a couple of minutes left, but tell us, your newest book is coming out in a month. I can't wait to read it. It's called My Dream of Stars. Give us a synopsis of it, Homer.
Well, I had a lot of fun writing this book. It's actually the memoir told in the voice of Anousheh Ansari. Anousheh Ansari is an Iranian-American woman who came over here at the age of 15, did not speak a word of English. 20 years later, she's worth $750 million. She's an entrepreneur, formed her own business in the telecommunications industry, and she always loved the idea of going into space. So she not only funded the XPRIZE, Burt Rutan's flight into space, but she also paid the Russians $20 million to fly her into orbit up to the space station. She had to fight every step of the way, and I think people are going to be fascinated by her wonderful story. For folks who want more, go over to homerhickam.com and click on the cover of My Dream of Stars, and they can learn a lot more about Anousheh Ansari.
Well, Homer, always a pleasure to chat with you. We look forward to our next conversation. Thank you very much for coming on America
Tonight. Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Fascinating, Homer is certainly, and as he mentioned, he has led an interesting life with several of the books that he's written, but I like this idea that he's getting behind the fight to save the exploration to the moon. And I hope that clears up a few things for some of the people listening when he's talking about the jobs lost, too, possibly up to 30,000 jobs. And how do you get those engineers back? Well, they're not going to stick around. They have families and mouths to feed, so it would really cripple the NASA program. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends here on ATN.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Should we fight for the right to continue to go to the moon and for the NASA program, which for 6 years has been working on Constellation? Now, basically, it'll be mothballed, maybe up to 30,000 folks losing their jobs at NASA thanks to this new budget and the direction of the new administration. What say you? Who cares about moon rocks, or you realize how important space exploration is? 800-259-5791. You can always throw in your two on ATN as we cruise along on this first hour. Topping odds and ends, though. Speaking of exploration, kind of exploration of a different kind, in the air and perhaps in a plane for some, the Air Force Academy is setting aside an outdoor worship area. You say, what's that about? For Christians, for Jews, for Muslims, Protestants? No. Are you ready for this? I know you're driving down the road somewhere in Illinois or Kentucky. The worship area is for pagans, Wiccans, Druids, and other earth-centered believers. That's what the school announced. Here's what the worship area looks like. It's a double circle of stones on top of a hill on the campus, which is near Colorado Springs. And what they're saying is it will dramatically improve the atmosphere, the mindset, and the actual connection. So the stones were moved to the hilltop last year because of the erosion problems. They were located near the visitor center. That could be a problem in a few different ways. They arranged them in two concentric circles because they thought it would be a good place for cadets to relax. And the academy has decided. They're saying they're designating the space, and it's part of the effort to foster religious tolerance and to defend the constitutional guarantee of religious freedom. Specifically, because there's places for Protestants and Catholics and Christians and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists. So now the pagans and the Wiccans and the Druids have a place to go, and they say it's about our commitment as airmen to protect freedom and defend freedom. This is a freedom thing, period, end of story. Remember when the superintendent for the academy started a few years ago, Lieutenant General Michael Gould, one of the top priorities was to make religious tolerance a priority. It was a big concern in 2004. They did a survey and found that a lot of the cadets had heard slurs or jokes about other religions, and some of the people attending the academy felt that they were ostracized because they weren't religious. And, you know, they're saying we have no criticism of the new worship space, and it's made public, so they don't have any real issues. The people that are pagans and Wiccans are happy about it. And I guess about 20 cadets or so have shown interest in, as I described, earth-centered beliefs. And about 8 to 10 actually go to Monday night meetings. There's some devout followers and others that are what they call searchers. Now, the academy has about 4,000 cadets. The school, as you know, is one of 5 U.S. service academies, meaning you've got West Point and Annapolis and some others. And the cadets graduate as second lieutenants when they graduate. So it's a great fair or foul. It just seems so odd, doesn't it, when you say, hey, my kid's going to the Air Force Academy. He's a Wiccan. And you know what? Hey, they're cool. They've got a hill where they have a place to worship, an outside area. I only know some of the things that I've read about Wiccans, and as in every follower deal, there are extremists. So there are extreme pagans, there are extreme Wiccans, and they usually make the headlines. And I don't know much about Druids, to be honest, other than what's obvious in what I've seen in sci-fi things, actually kind of making fun of it. So what basically the cadets are saying is, look, it's about freedom, and we've got it here, and isn't this terrific, and anyone's welcome to visit the new worship site, but it has to be treated as a religious structure. They're going to do a formal dedication in March. All right, so how about it? You can also throw in your two, fair or foul. I do have to say it would be kind of odd when you think of some of the Wiccan ceremonies to be at the what you think of the Air Force Academy as, and to look off slightly in the distance and see something going on in the hill. Matt, you can relate to what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying about the extreme. Now, of course, there are some people that aren't extreme at all that would follow the so-called Wiccan belief. But there is the other side of that where we're talking about sacrifice and stuff. So you can just imagine the phone calls and the letters that are probably coming the way of the Air Force Academy after this announcement, right?
Yeah, definitely, because people get all up in arms when something's different. And this is definitely different. But I go back to what I had said earlier, that if the Air Force hadn't gotten so involved in it, started with that football coach about getting kind of promoting Christianity, then these other groups wouldn't have felt ostracized, and they never would have had to create these, I don't know what, structures, places of worship, I guess, for these other groups that are not so mainstream, I guess.
Right. Well, they opened up the, that's what they did. They opened up Pandora's box by doing that. So once that became big headlines, in fact, we had somebody on that wrote a book about the Air Force Academy a couple of different times and talking about that whole thing, the religious persecution and the pushing of the Christianity, and it just blew the lid off of it all. And once that happened, this is absolutely, these are the next steps in a different way. In a different way, it's when you know how this is. You push a certain agenda and you push hard enough, you're gonna get some element you don't like to prove the point. Hey, if you want to have complete, ultimately transparent Christian values, and you have 4,000 cadets, and however many believe in the Christian core, okay, then that's fine. You want to have the prayer before the football game and everything. But guess what? Now we're going to start to file lawsuits, and we're going to say, well, this is our belief. So in a sense, their hands are absolutely tied. Matt is right. Once you go down that road, it's tough to take a turn back in the other direction. And that's what's happened at the Air Force Academy. And as I said, I mean, seriously, you got to think of what your mind can conjure up about a pagan ceremony and how many people will be very turned off by the Air Force Academy doing it. I'm surprised, and because there's so much other things going on with the budget and whatnot, that we haven't heard more protests over this. But trust me, my friends, this is just a small ripple that will, I think, turn into a giant tsunami in the next couple of weeks or so. And speaking of the Air Force Academy, on a completely different note, one of the things that Barack Obama talked about, that the president mentioned in his budget, was the whole push for education and increasing the money toward education. So you get through high school, and now you're waiting and you're trying to apply for colleges. You're sweating it out. Here's what the sad part is. In sweating out the acceptance letters, you got people really sweating out the idea of whether or not they can afford the tuition. In Florida, they're saying that the college students are facing about 15% tuition increases for years to come, yearly. Yearly, that's going up. That's incredible. The University of Illinois students there have to pay at least 9% more. I'm just giving you some examples. The University of Washington, since we're all over the place, is going to charge 14% more at their campus. In California, forget about it. Ugh. California, more than 30%, and we've talked about this. There have been massive protests over that amount. The tuition, I mean, how do you afford that? It's like you have to hope and pray your kid could become a left-handed pitcher, or they're such brainiacs they're going to get some sort of a scholarship, unless you have big bucks, unless you're from a privileged family where you've inherited money and it's trickled down, or you're a legacy person, or you've got a family member who's a professor at the college, like your father or mother, and you can get free tuition or something's connected. Usually almost anybody that works on the campus, whether it's in athletics or whatever, you would get that tuition. So you've got, I mean, when you're talking about paying $1,000 more plus in tuition and then fees, you know, the national average for 2009-2010 is about $7,000. That doesn't even include room and board. It doesn't include room and board, getting there, that whole thing. I would be a great example of that. I went to Ohio University, and I grew up in New Jersey, so you have the room and board, you have driving back and forth. That, you can handle that. It was about 7-8 hours. But there are kids that go to school where they would need to, at least sometimes they would have to fly. So I guess what it means is I think you're going to see an increase in some of those state colleges, some of those community colleges. People are just going to have to go there first, try to save money in some cases, because, you know, a blue-collar family scrambling to find the money to pay, what, $20,000 plus in tuition and room and board and all that sort of thing. I don't know where they come up with that. Where do they get those kind of loans that they would need? Ooh, tough times. Stay with us. that's much more to come on ATN. Some politics and controversy. Imagine that. Coming up on the flip side.
Why is drinking pure high-alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
What they are surviving on. Probably more a combination of ego than lust. Talking about politics and controversy, Guantanamo couldn't be more red hot or radioactive, and there's a lot to be determined here. Now that this whole 9/11 trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has become more of a debacle, now they're having a raging dispute over where to, one, try KSM and his four nutbags that are also claiming responsibility for 9/11. And you have the White House being very defensive about the civilian courts for terror trials, that we should be able to have these guys tried in a civilian court. You know, I think about Zacharias Moussaoui and some of the other terrorists who were convicted in federal courts, but what a circus sideshow that was, like Ringling Brothers times 10. I know that a lot of people who lost loved ones in 9/11 were watching on closed circuit TV, and this nutbag Moussaoui screamed out how many times, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, and said nut jobby things when he was in the courtroom. Of course, because he had a bully pulpit. Then once he was convicted, oh no, I had nothing to do with it, I lied, I made things up. So I think it gives a platform to the people you don't want to give a platform to. So there are choices that could be made here. So ultimately, the question goes back to, where should the detainees be tried? How about in a military tribunal at Guantanamo Bay? Ding, 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 ding. That was my vote all along. Or do you just send them to some very remote location in the United States? Or do they go overseas to say, hey, take your leftovers, you sort it out? That's the thing. Nothing will be sorted out if you do that. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed gets dropped. He's gone. Are you kidding? And plus, some of the other countries don't want half of the guys back. That's the thing. So, will there be any kind of bipartisan cooperation, period, when we talk about the politics of 2010? And one of the things that's going to be the biggest hurdle is this whole 9/11 trials. You've got two Democratic senators, Jim Webb and Blanche Lincoln, who are backing legislation to deny any kinds of money to try 9/11 suspects in civilian courts. And you heard me say, right? Democratic senators, Jim Webb. I'm liking this guy more and more each day. Blanche Lincoln, yeah, saying, no, forget about it. Because the other part of the equation, too, security issue, the money issue, yeah, I mean, let's just cut the nonsense. Why does this have to become such a grandstanding issue? So you have these, you have KSM and these co-conspirators, and you're going to put them in federal court, and I mean, that just, you're talking about, even though the plans supposedly are scrapped for Manhattan, you're talking about a nightmare pretty much anywhere you would go. Then you, oh, by the way, with our system of justice, have that extra little thing you have to worry about, and it's called finding an impartial jury. Where are you finding an impartial jury in the United States? Let's be honest about it. Are you kidding? So then you've got Senator Lindsey Graham, who, and some of the same people when it comes to national security matters, they all seem to be in the same group. Like John McCain usually will go along with some of the things that Lindsey Graham says, and you could throw in Lieberman and some of that discussion and some others, and they're going to get involved as well. They, you know, they like this idea. They're going to jump on the bill that Webb and Lincoln are co-sponsoring, saying forget the funds, because they're trying to make it harder for the trials to continue, and the conversation of where to hold it and the money that would have to be spent and all that. They're trying to just kill that whole discussion, and bravo to, you know, bravo to them for doing that. And remember, Webb and Lincoln, they're part of the group that have that re-election coming up in 2010. So the Attorney General, Eric Holder, is the one who's having the fire turned up underneath him. And there's a push for him to reconsider his decision to actually hold this trial in the U.S. for one, but specifically, because it hasn't really officially even stopped yet, in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. Why, oh, why they ever wasted time in thinking that this was the place to go. I mean, it just, it makes no sense. look, it's more cost effective. It's definitely a logical move. And you look at the risks are ridiculous for anybody in the United States, wherever they would move this. So it's only wise to try KSM or to look at KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and the four others and say, look, military commissions. This is the right way to go in every sense of the word. And I'll tell you what, now this bill has a real chance of making it thanks to Abdullah Muttalib. And you know who that is? He's the Christmas Day bomber, or the so-called underwear bomber. After what happened with him, where he was starting to spill his guts, and then he was in custody, I don't know now, like an hour or so, and he was Mirandized after that and then forget about it because then the faucet of information was turned off. The group of people that were so enraged by this, thank goodness, the volume was really loud out of D.C. So it's pretty clear. Even Scott Brown from Massachusetts, the new Republican senator, says he doesn't support civilian trials for the alleged terrorists. That was one of the things, in fact, that he pushed when he was running against Martha Coakley. So with this new budget released that has a $200 million terrorist trial fund, I think you've got to forget about that. It's one, it's not enough, and you're talking about only that small group. I think the smart thing to do would be go to those military tribunals to just stick with that, instead of trying a move to the U.S. You might disagree with that. You might disagree with some of the other things. I'll tell you, this hour, I'd have to say, I don't think we should try any of the Gitmo guys. I've said this all along, though, in any of our courts in the U.S. I also don't think we should cut off the funding for NASA, especially after you've got 6 years into the program. That's ridiculous. Oop. We wasted millions of dollars on this, so let's just cut it off. Let's cripple it at its knees. That doesn't make any sense to me because you're already almost at the finish line of launching. So why go there and mothball it? It doesn't make any sense, and you do have to be on the cutting edge. You do have to keep up. I think it'd be a mistake not to do that. And then talking about the Air Force Academy, what a bunch of dummies for letting this controversy creep in the first place. Can you imagine? I saw a sign somewhere, witches welcome at the Air Force Academy. So yeah, and I've seen shots of the prayer circle. It's no joke. It's on the Rockies, and it's an outdoor place for worship for the pagans and the Wiccans and the Wiccan cadets and officers and all that sort of stuff. They'll be out there on the circle of stones. Who's to blame for that one? Again, send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?